and you are listening to the hymn we're going to be looking at today. Praise the Almighty, the Lord, adore him. No, praise the Almighty. Adore him. What was it?
Praise the Almighty, my soul, adore him.
That's correct. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. But I'm looking at another hymn first. Remember I told you that we got an email from someone who said that we had made a mistake on the word moat?
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember what hymn it was?
No. Oh, was it 834?
Oh, yes. Oh, good guess, goodness. Boy.
Just came to my mind.
Yes, I kind of figured it would. The first stanza, would you read it, please?
O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, thy living finger never wrote that life should be an aimless mote.
There.
Mm-hmm. A death.
No.
Okay,
that's it.
Just stop right there.
No, right. Okay. What does that mean? You and I came up with the idea that we thought it might be referring to that moat around the castle.
Moat around the castle, right. That's what thought it was.
M-O-A-T.
Uh-huh.
And so here we got this wonderful letter from Mary. Isn't the word you talked about M-O-T-E instead of M-O-A-T? I think it's talking about us floating through life like a mote of dust with no direction or anchor without faith. And so I looked it up, and sure enough, what mote means is a speck, a snippet, or a fly speck. Like, how can you judge me when you have the mote in your eye? Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Whoever uses that word, isn't that? How did she?
We went over the hymn.
How did she happen to know that word? Is what I'd like to know.
She probably recognized that mote we were talking about was M O A T, and I think I had even spelled it M O T E, and I hadn't looked it up because I thought you would know it, but you didn't know it either, did you? So neither of us.
I'm just
knew
amazed
it.
That I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that word before.
Well, of course you did, because we went through the hymn.
Yeah.
That's a hymn she's did about 6
smart,
weeks ago.
Pretty smart lady for
we
catching
got
that.
Really good, smart people.
Oh, you aren't kidding.
On KFUO
yes.
Listening to
smarter,
us.
So. Smarter sometimes than the speakers.
Not the host, but the guests, yes. So, well, we'll see how smart you are. Looking at Praise the Almighty. And that can get mixed up, because there's a couple that begin with Praise the Almighty.
That's right.
But this one is Praise the Almighty, my soul, adore him. And we'll see how smart you are. What did you know about the author?
Not a thing.
Me neither. Johann Daniel Hermerschmidt.
Hermerschmidt.
The Hermerschmidt. Yes. Died in 1723. So that was a few hundred years ago.
Yes.
And, of course, translated by Alfred Brauer. But it's a German hymn translated into the English. And what I wanted to talk about today is how important, particularly if you're in a congregation where the congregation does use the hymn of the day somewhere. Sermon hymn, or maybe at the end or something, to go over this with your children ahead of time. So when they run into a word like moat, they know what it means. But do you use a hymn of the day at your
I
church?
Sure try to, yeah. unless I can just sense this is just not going to go over well in our congregation. But I really do try to use the hymn of the day. I think it's a good, systematic way of exposing your people to new hymnody.
And when you say, if it doesn't go over well, you mean they're going to disagree with the theology
of
your congregation?
I mean, it's not real singable for us.
Yes,
that's what
right,
I mean.
That's right, yes. Do you have a choir?
No.
Yeah, okay, because that was what helped us a lot.
Oh, yes, tremendous.
Yeah, they would sometimes sing the first stanza and then kind of go from there. Yeah, my home congregation, St. Paul de Pere, November the 1st is going to have the dedication of their new $400,000 organ.
Oh, wow.
And it's not even a new organ. It's an addition to it.
Wow. Boy.
Now, they did send it, I believe, to Germany overseas, but already they're putting trumpets up on the banisters up there and things like that. So it's getting ready. And, yeah, it's going to be really something. November the 1st, I believe in the afternoon, St. Paul de Pere. And it's really easy to remember that address, 12345 Manchester. So it's off 270, just go east a little bit, and there you'll see it on the left. But this Praise the Almighty is going to be a hymn sing and a dedication of, or a rededication of the organ in light of the fact that it's already been there. Yeah, Mr. Bender is the organist there. He's just excellent. Does some wonderful items. He has a rendition of the Te Deum at the back of our hymnal, one of the hymns with trumpets and other musical instruments that they did at the Higher Things.
Is that Peter Bender I'm thinking about? Bender?
Mark Bender.
Oh.
Yeah, mark the name right. Okay.
Right.
Go ahead and read the first stanza, if we will, for Praise the Almighty.
All right. Praise the... Oh, I almost sang it.
I know.
I've got a song in my heart, Tom.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Praise the Almighty, my soul adore him. Yes, I will laud him until death. With songs and anthems I come before him as long as he allows me breath. From him my life and all things came. Bless, O my soul, his holy name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Yes, I just have one quick housekeeping task I have to announce right now in light of this first stanza, is that because of a funeral at Emmanuel Olivet today at 11, we will not be having the regular Bible study. So no Bible study today at 11. I will have the 7:30 Bible study tonight, and then I'm also doing a devotion for the men's club at 7 o'clock. But so those of you, some people come from St. Charles and around to come to the Bible study. I hope you're hearing this, and you do not need to come today. We'll continue next Tuesday. And the reason that this reminded me, because it says, as long as he allows me breath, from him my life and all things came. Just so happened, in the last 2 weeks, I visited two individuals, one a shut-in and one in the hospital, and they both fell asleep in Jesus this weekend.
Well, God rest them.
Yes, for sure. And I know that the funeral will give comfort to them, because it's going to have these themes in it,
mm-hmm.
How we can praise the Almighty and adore him. As long as he allows me breath, from him my life and all things came. Bless, O my soul, his holy name. Now, the word soul is used here. Praise the Almighty, my soul adore him. How would you understand that word? Therefore, soul.
That's the, that's our spirit. How would you differentiate between soul and spirit, Tom?
Yes, in fact, sometimes there isn't that clear a distinction, and sometimes the King James will use the word soul when it's translating the word spirit.
And we tend to use it interchangeably, too.
Yes,
sometimes.
At times. One person who has given me an indication as to the distinction, you have the body, that's the flesh, the spirit is your spiritual side, and the soul was the life of the body. So he would say that, therefore, when you die, the soul dies, but the spirit goes to heaven. But that's not always the way the Bible uses it. So soul and spirit, I kind of would think of it, the soul is my conscience side for spirituality, for spiritual things. Like, it's hard for your body to adore something, because mm-hmm. it's just flesh. But the soul would be that within you. For example, I do not believe that lions and giraffes have souls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have a... because, number one, they're not held accountable for sin. If a lion eats a human being, he doesn't go to hell. Well, seriously.
Okay. You're thinking of Cecil or Cecil?
Oh,
the lion?
Cecil. No, he was killed.
Yeah, he was killed, wasn't he?
But one of his buddies...
He got back at man.
Oh, boy, that was... Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Yeah, you're not going to see me around a lion without a big gun, I tell you. Yeah, I just can't believe these people who have pets like that.
Well, you've got a pet that's pretty close to a lion. The Maine Coon?
Oh, cat? I thought you were talking about my wife. Oh, I tell you, I was going to say, that's terrible. Speak about your own wife that way.
Your cat looks almost like a lion.
Yes, yeah. She's pretty big. And I tell you, because it's so hot, she just lies. The bathroom doesn't have a rug on it, so she lies right in that doorway. And I come up, and I got to kick her about 8 times for her to move.
She's pretty big. I don't think I'd kick her.
Yeah, the biggest cat, second most registered cat, Maine Coons. And they call them a Maine Coon because they were discovered in Maine, and they thought they were so big. They thought they were a cross between a cat and a raccoon. And that's why they call them Maine Coon. But we had two of them, took them and won ribbons the first time they became champions in Ohio at the first show we took them to. So, yes, they're really, you know.
Well, we're all over the place this morning, aren't we?
Stanza two. Trust not in rulers. They are but mortal. Earthborn they are and soon decay. Vain are their counsels at life's last portal when the dark graves engulf its prey. Since mortals can no help afford, place all your trust in Christ our Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. This is probably pretty appropriate.
Very timely, isn't it?
During this season of, what do we got, 30 presidential candidates with both the Republicans and Democrats. And it's kind of interesting that who do they tend to go with? Those that they are most emotionally connected with. Not really caring that much at this point about policies. I heard Carson just tied Trump.
Right.
And what was Carson's big point? Everybody really lauded his closing speech at the first debate where he said, you know, I tell you what I do. I'm one of the first to work on a baby inside the womb.
Right.
And I also took out half a brain, which I thought I was the first one to do it until I thought somebody beat me in Washington.
Yes, I remember that.
And, I mean, the laughter was such. So what's he doing about ISIS? That's not really clear. But they so appreciated his personality.
Yes.
That he's way up there right now.
He's very likable.
Now we'll see what's going to happen. Because people want to have hope. In mm-hmm. fact, I think that's
right.
How the last president very got elected,
important.
Talking about hope. But this is the perfect Bible verse to show that men are but mortal.
Yeah.
And this is a sinful world, and it is really impossible to get rid of evil, to get rid of the poor, to get rid of war. It's always going to be there. The Bible says that. And so the best leaders are those which help us to cope with our problems as best as we are able. And we'll see what happens there. So there's anything else in that stanza too?
Well, you talked about ministry to the dying.
Yes.
Vain are their counsels at life's last portal.
Boy, that's for sure.
When the dark grave engulfs its prey. Since mortals can no help afford, place all your trust in Christ our Lord. I mean, that's where your trust needs to be, especially as you approach the end.
Okay, here's my question. Are you not mortal?
Yes.
So they're not to trust you as pastor?
Well, of course. It's not talking about that.
No, I think...
But I bring Christ to them.
Well...
That's who we
what
trust.
What mortals aren't we to trust then? I believe they're using the word mortal as the sinful side of us. Remember?
Oh, is that right?
Well, 1 Corinthians 15. This mortal must put on...
immortality.
Yes. See? That there's going to be a change totally so that in heaven you will no longer sin. But here on earth, our old Adam particularly, you don't want to trust the old Adam. I mean, there's just no doubt about it that a lot of presidential candidates try to get elected by promising free things, which is, in my view, not very good because that makes a dependent society and people should take responsibility. And I think that's another reason that Carson is up here because he came from really poor beginnings. But he said recently that if you get an education, nothing stops you from being what you want to become. And education was a big thing. And unfortunately, in a lot of areas, they're not getting
That's right.
Proper education and such, unless they went to your parochial school. Yeah, I was really, I taught a youth confirmation at Trinity Orchard Farm, and I was really pleased with how astute those students were and spiritual-minded. And they had their memory work done, down, and this sort of thing. It just really is different.
It makes a big difference, that is for sure.
Makes a huge difference.
You bet.
Stanza three, please.
Blessed, oh blessed are they forever, whose help is from the Lord Most High, whom from salvation can nothing sever, and who in hope to Christ draw nigh. To all who trust in him, our Lord, will aid and counsel now afford. Alleluia, alleluia.
Yes. Blessed, oh blessed are they forever, whose help is from the Lord Most High. Where else can we get help? Well, from the world.
Or, yeah, and sometimes deceitfully from the devil.
Yes.
It may appear to be help.
Yeah, we don't do counseling, you and I. Strictly understood as counseling is for people who are really like in depression or having some psychological problems. I've always called it pastoral care.
Pastoral care is what I call it too.
Yeah. It was a Professor Henschke who was a professional counselor. He told me, well, he told the class, that while he was in the ministry, he would do psychological counseling, but he would charge the members of the congregation for it because it wasn't part of his ministerial duties. And a lot of times, if I believe somebody needs a counselor, then I'm going to get somebody who's better than I in that particular area. Sometimes it can be another pastor who's got more experience than I have in certain areas. But a lot of times, it can be someone, and not even a Christian. I used to send people to a Jewish psychiatrist because he never got into theology or anything, mm-hmm. but he really... Psychiatrists basically help through medicine, and he was very good at that in helping people. But a psychologist, I would try to find a Christian
yes,
one there.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Do you use any in town?
Oh, yes, I refer. I know my limitations as far as counseling.
So. All right. So this particular stanza there... is once more moving us away from the world's advice to the advice of God. And that's really kind of important. Do you find that a lot of times people need counseling because they're really involved in some kind of sin? And it gets some bad conscience and this sort of thing and...
I can't say, not in my recent memory can I remember anyone because of that, but I'm sure that is the case.
Right.
Sin will weigh heavy on a lot of people.
That's right.
Sometimes they come into your office just, you know, they just can't bear it anymore.
Yes, and the consequences of sin, sometimes they don't recognize it's because of sin. And that's where the law comes in. To show a person, well, what did you expect, you know, under the circumstances or something like that? Like children who don't like their parents because they have friends who have bicycles, they don't have that, they got big TVs and stuff, and they wish they had different parents. That's because of a denial of the fourth commandment. Honor your father and mother, that God has placed father and mothers over us. And so that's how you would counsel, like in youth confirmation about that. But that's how you're blessed. My definition of being blessed is simply God keeping his promise. And therefore, I can't think of anything in my life which was not a blessing. Let's just make something up, getting pulled over for a speed ticket, you know.
You just happened to make that up. It just came right off the top of your head.
Well, you know, something that would never, of course, happen to me. But that would be still a blessing from God. Because I tell you, when you get a speeding ticket, you do slow down for at least three or four days. You know. No, I was driving with somebody recently, and they were driving in a really nice car. And it was on the streets here. 70 miles an hour he was going. And I told him, you know, you're 15 miles over the speed limit. But it didn't feel like that at all. And he was just kind of showing me. And then all of a sudden, 8 police cars passed us. And I looked
they
over.
They passed you?
Yeah, yeah. They were chasing something. Boy, we tried to follow them, but we lost them. And then all of a sudden, they started coming back on the other side of the highway. But I've never seen so many police cars in a row. But it was kind of interesting. As soon as those lights he saw in his rear view, 55.
Yeah, slowed right down.
Probably, yeah, that's kind of funny. But it was really a nice car and such, and very smooth. And we move now to the fourth stance. I'll do that. Penitent sinners for mercy crying, pardon and peace from him obtain. Ever the wants of the poor supplying, their faithful God he will remain. He helps his children in distress, the widows and the fatherless. Alleluia, alleluia. Now, I think the one word you'd want to explain to children, I'll read the phrase and you tell me how you would explain it, ever the wants of the poor supplying.
Well, he's always helping the poor.
Well, who are the poor?
That's
who does that refer to?
That's talking about the poor, the poverty-stricken. Oh, you think it's talking about the poor in spirit?
We confess it Sunday morning.
Poor, miserable sinner.
Yes. It's talking about everybody.
Boy, that hadn't occurred to me.
Well, remember,
I think of it, especially in light of that, the rest of that verse, ever the wants of the poor supplying, their faithful God he will remain. But then it says he helps his children in distress, the widows and the fatherless. I think of the poor is right along with that category. I'm not thinking poor in spirit in that, but you could be right.
Yes, there's no doubt that that is some of the poor who only have a mother, and they don't have a father. So I'm not going to disagree with you there, but I think of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor.
Poor in spirit.
In spirit.
You know who that is, don't you? You know the poor in spirit. Those are people that really, it's like the publican in the temple.
Yes.
God be merciful to me, a poor miserable sinner.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's
said.
What poor in spirit means.
But you know the publicans were rich. They were tax collectors.
Yeah, but you're right, but they were poor in spirit.
Yeah, that's right. So that's how I took it here. But unfortunately, we can't phone Johann and ask him because he died in 1723.
So that's how you take that. Well, I think that's good. It just hadn't.
Yeah.
I'm just not on.
In other words,
I'm not on your high plane there.
Well,
Tom.
No. Low plane is that it refers to everybody. Nobody is left out.
You're right.
Because we're all
poor.
You're
right.
And if you would be so kind to read the last stanza.
Penitent sinners. Oh, the last one. Praise all you people, the name so holy of him who does such wondrous things. All that has being, to praise him solely. With happy heart its amen sings. Children of God with angel host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia.
And in this hymnal, there's a triangle in front of it.
It's a doxological verse. It's
Which means
deals
what?
With the Trinity. And so we stand.
Yeah, that's right, we stand.
That's a signal for standing.
Yes. Now, the word that I think children may have a little problem with, all that his being to praise him solely. When they think of soul, they think of things on the bottom of a shoe.
Right.
What does it mean solely there?
Alone.
Yes.
Means alone. Praise him.
Yeah. Remember from the Latin sola, what are
right.
the three or four solas of the Reformation?
Sola scriptura, sola gratia, and sola
fide.
And faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone.
And there's one more.
Christ alone.
Very good. That's the important one. So this one, this hymn, does have some things that need to be explained to children, but I think people will be able to do that. And if they want to hear this hymn, I'm preaching at Emmanuel Olivet Saturday at 5 and Sunday at 8 and 10:30. And your services?
Yeah, 5 p.m. Saturday evening. We have a service, and then Sunday at 9 a.m. And, you know, we're coming up on restarting our Lifelight Bible study program. We are studying Jeremiah this year, and that starts September the 10th. It's a Thursday morning, 10:30 to noon. Lifelight Bible Study on Jeremiah.
Oh, that's good.
We welcome everybody.
And who's teaching it?
I am teaching it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, a very good teacher. Yes, excellent. All righty. Thank you so much for being here today. And plans are next week is okay?
Oh, yes.
All right. I'm Tom Baker, listening to Law and Gospel. Tomorrow we're going to give you insight.
Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.